you have something. Amen. How many feel like you're on holy ground today? I hope you do. Because holy ground is not just something that's just, you know, heavenly. It only happens once in a great while. I mean, we stand in Christ. In Christ alone, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So I'm thankful today to be on holy ground. Amen. The solid rock, a firm foundation, a place of safety, security, a place of hope, of joy, of peace, that we are surrounded. As Scripture says in Hebrews 12, after we read the great hall of faith of Hebrews 11 and all the great and mighty things that God did in ordinary people like you and I, and sometimes I think we think when we look at the people in the Bible, oh, well, they were holy. And maybe they were. Holy just means to be set apart, to be hallowed, to, you know, the honor and beauty of God. But what God did was choose ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He didn't call the mightiest. He didn't call the most noble. He didn't call the most trained. He didn't call the most likely. When he called Moses, he had committed murder, was living on the backside of the desert, decided just to be a sheep farmer the rest of his life. Amen? Raised in Pharaoh's house, God saved him in a basket from sure death. And he was on the backside of a desert, keeping his father's sheep when God appeared to him in a burning bush and began to speak things over his life. And Moses' response was, well, I can't do that. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a leader. You saw how that went, right? How many know your past does not define you? And it also does not determine your future. So many times we get held up and we get trapped in our past, or we get trapped in failures, or we get trapped in disappointments, and we think that's where we're always going to be. Amen? Moses got comfortable in a wilderness place, in a solitary place. But can I tell you, God will show up right in the middle of your solitary place with a consuming fire and a burning fire that doesn't consume you, but ignites something in you. Come on, God's not didn't send a burning bush to consume Moses. He sent a fire to ignite what was inside of him. And I just believe the word over us in this house for this season is just allow the presence of the Lord to ignite a passion inside you. We are just getting started. Come on, somebody say that with me. We are just getting started. You may have been on the backside of the desert. You may have felt like you've been in transition. You might think that God forgot about you. You might think that you are comfortable where you are, but God is about to ignite something inside of you if you allow him to. And Moses had every reason why he couldn't do what God called him to do, and God never listened to one of them. Can somebody say, thank you, Jesus? How many of you tried to talk God out of his will? How many of you ever tried to talk God out of sending you to somebody? How many of you ever tried to talk God out of something? Hallelujah. How many of you tried to talk your parents out of something? If it didn't go well with them, it's not going to go well with him. Because the scripture tells us the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, it means God does not change his mind concerning you. And so when we see situations like that, and I'm encouraged because what I started to say is out of Hebrews 11, it's all about people like Moses. It's all about people that the scripture says, but through faith. Through faith, they shut the mouths of lions. Through faith, they turned the enemy on their heels. Through faith, they parted the Red Sea. Through faith, they gave birth Through faith, Sarah had strength to laugh again. And she said she received strength to conceive. And she laughed. How many are ready for laughter to be restored in this season, for your strength to be renewed, to say, well, maybe there's still something left in this loins of this old lady that has something could birth a new life in this season? Because sometimes we think, oh, I'm beyond that. Stop thinking you're too old. Stop thinking you're finished. Stop thinking you're done. Stop thinking you're too young. Stop thinking you're too poor. Stop thinking you're a nobody. Stop thinking it can't happen and start saying, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on, Lord. Hallelujah. God can move in your life in the smallest of ways. In the smallest of ways. And so it says then in Hebrews 12 that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses of all those people who died in faith believing for a day that we would see. Hallelujah. The great hall of faith. We are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Hallelujah. To encourage us to run the race that is set before us. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. He is the author. That means he writes the story. And he's the finisher. He's the closer of our faith. Somebody say, my story's not over. I might be changing another chapter, but my story's not over. Hallelujah. Because it's not over till he says it's over. Hallelujah. And I just feel a renewed strength. The Lord spoke two things to me this week. One, he said, in everything, well, he probably spoke more than two, but I'm going to tell you two of them that he spoke to me. One of them, he said, in everything, give thanks. Say that with me. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything. I'm not thankful for everything, but in everything, I can find something to be thankful for. Yeah. Hallelujah. I was sick last Sunday. I couldn't be here. I'm thankful for live stream. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that I know the healer. I'm thankful that he is my source of my strength, of my faith. I'm thankful for the word that Billy brought forth last week. It was an anointed word. Hallelujah. I am thankful in the midst of chaos. Because sometimes when God takes you through a hard place, it's to take you to a better place. And we sometimes look at closed doors and say, God, what are you doing here? And the second thing he told me this week was, look for favor. Look for favor everywhere. Where is the favor in this, Lord? And I've ministered to some people lately and gone through a hard place. And I said, look for favor in this. Because God's going to show you favor. And had this not happened, you would not have seen a completion of what God wanted to do. So find the favor in the midst of where you're at. Because guess what? Favor doesn't always look like favor. Favor is not always fun. And favor is not always fair. Favor doesn't always look like favor. It's not always fun. And it's not always fair. How many know it did not look like the favor of God on Moses' life when he came to him in the burning bush? Really, Moses would have been okay if he'd have just left me there and let me do my thing, right? But when God starts to stir you and God starts to speak and he starts to ignite something in you, there are dreams yet to be dreamed. There is purpose yet to be fulfilled. There are places yet to go. There are people who need to hear your voice, who need to see your life, who need to be touched by your hand because God is stirring something in you. Hallelujah. So I believe in favor. Beth and I were traveling not too long ago, and our flight things was getting crazy and messed up and all that kind of stuff, and we said, we're going to pray for favor. We're going to believe God for favor. And had we got delayed, it'd been okay. It would have been okay. I mean, if God showed us favor, even in the midst of that travel, every step of the way of that journey, we would look at each other and say, that's favor. Thank you, God, for favor. Because here's what happens. You can either look at the crisis, you can look about how things bad are, you can despise the job you have, or you can thank God for the favor that your bills are paid. You can despise the situation you're in, or you can find favor and say, God, this might be a temporary place. How many know Joseph, when he was in the prison, did not feel very favored? But you know what? The whole reason that got him in the prison was because he was daddy's favorite. He was Jacob's favorite, and all of his brothers knew it. The favorite child. And they knew that daddy favored Joseph. And so they were jealous and they were angry. And so they sold him to the Midianites. Do you ever have family you want to sell the Midianites? My mom used to threaten to take us to boarding school and leave us there and not pay the board so they'd keep us. And I thought, well, Mom, if you don't pay the board, they're not keeping us. I didn't know how that worked, but that's what she would tell us. She was going to take us to boarding school and leave us there. There were times she wanted to sell us to the Midianites, right? But even in the midst of Joseph's lives of being sold into the Midianites, going down in the house of Potiphar, how many know when he came into the house of Potiphar, he had favor with Potiphar? And even though Mrs. Potiphar had another intention in mind for his life, when he was thrown into prison, how many know he found favor with the prison guard? Right? And so he went from the prison to the palace. He went from a prisoner to the prime minister. Come on, somebody. That's what favor looks like. Sometimes you aren't even looking for favor, but favor is looking for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're going to start a season for these next couple weeks. I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart called favored. Do we have any favored people in here today? Business might not look like it should. Your life might not look like it should yet. Come on, somebody say yet with me. What we confess sometimes over us, and I'm guilty of this. I know I'm not in the room by myself, but we're so guilty to confess the things that are wrong and not to confess the things that are right and the things that we are so blessed. Is there anybody in the house today can raise your hand and say, I'm so blessed. On my worst day, I'm so blessed. I have more than abundance. I have more clothes than I need, Miss Linda. Her luggage got lost the other day. She said, you know what? It's no big deal. I got more clothes. Hallelujah. I got more food in my house than I can eat right now. I'm warm. I'm taken care of. I'm comfortable. Not everybody has that. And it makes my heart yearn for those who don't, and makes me want to be a willing vessel to say, how can I help you in this season? Because if you ever find and discover the favor of God, you'll quit looking at everything that's wrong and everything that's bad and everything that's doomed and start saying God is up to something big, and he's about to turn the favor of the Lord around in my life, and he's about to do something inside of me. Amen. How many know what began to happen in the Christmas story is God started to do something on the inside before we ever saw it on the outside? Oh, I love that. When it gets, Jeremiah said, it's just like fire shut up in my bones. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for fire that shut up inside my bones that I can't hardly stand myself sometimes. In a good way. Where the presence of the Lord stirs me. Where it wakes me up in the night and I got to get my pen ready and write it down. When I got ready to step to the podium, I had to write down a note that the Lord dropped in my heart for. I forgot it when I got back home. That's another sermon. Favored. Favor. One word for favor is simply the blessing of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord maketh a man rich and... If your richness is added in sorrow, it's not the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord maketh a man rich and addeth no sorrow. Richness has nothing to do with your wallet or your bank account. Growing up as a kid, we probably didn't really know how poor we were. And my dad said, would say, we're rich. He'd say, kings don't eat as good as we do. Look at all this we got. We're rich, he'd say. Family. He'd say, Job's daughter. He said, my daughters are like Job's daughters. There's a fairest in all the land. I'm telling the truth, right? Hallelujah. How many know we were taught to think we were blessed even when we didn't have everything we thought we wanted or needed? You know, it gets heavy on my heart sometimes because I think we go to such efforts to make sure our kids don't do without, don't get disappointed, get everything they want for Christmas, don't have to miss out on anything. And then we want them to turn out to be the adults that we are, but we don't let them go through the things that made us who we are. Yeah. It's okay for your kids to get disappointed once in a while. It's okay for them not to have what Johnny or Sally's got. It's okay if they don't get to go to the party that everybody else is going to, because you know it's not profitable for them. It's okay if they don't get to go to that sleepover house that you don't know what goes on in that house. It's okay if they don't always like you. And I'll just let you know up front, they're not always going to like you. But they will come back to love you, and they will come back to say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for making us pay our way. Thank you for making us work. Thank you for teaching us how to can. Thank you for making us cut wood and carry it. Thank you for the things that we had to do. And when we shift and don't want our kids to experience those things, we take away the grit and the strength and the resources of them to be resilient and steadfast and strong. When we fail to say, did you pray about it? Let's pray. My granddaughter came out in the kitchen yesterday, and Poppy had wrapped her all up in this ace bandage. And she was playing. She said, I broke down. Said, Poppy broke me down. Poppy had wrapped her up. Well, she meant to say she had a broken arm. She said, Poppy broke me. I broke down. And I said, do you want me to pray for you? She said, no. Well, yeah. So I walked over and prayed for her. She didn't have a broken arm, but that's okay because that's how we respond to crisis. Amen. We must teach them to pray. We must teach them to be givers. We must teach them to tithe, teach them to sow. I will tell you, if you learn to be a tither and a giver as a child, you will always be a tither and giver. If you wait to an adult to try to figure out how to budget giving, you'll always say, I can't afford that. I can't afford not to give. I'm just going to tell you. Because I understand, I know the riches of His glory. I know the riches of the abundance of God that He will give back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look for favor. If God be for you, who can be against you? A favor means the approval, support, or liking for someone or something. It's an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. It is to feel or show approval or preference for. It's an endorsement, a seal of approval, faith to receive what God wants to release in your life. And favor does not puff itself up. Favor is very humbling. How many can say that your blessings humble you? Because I have to look back and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I remember one time being at Manassas and leaving Bob and Linda's place somewhere down there, probably there for a revival or meeting or something, and coming out of there, and McDonald's had hamburgers on sale. I don't know if you all remember. I was thinking it was 10 for a dollar, and we were able to pull in. Okay, I'm not that old. It was a really good sale, okay? It was a really good sale. We didn't have McDonald's here then. We we came out of there, we went through the drive-through. We didn't get drinks, we didn't get french fries, but we each got a hamburger from McDonald's for 10 for a dollar. We thought, we still remember it, we thought we had hit the big time. See, when I drive through McDonald's now, I say, thank you, Jesus. I could order me two cheeseburgers if I wanted to and get myself an iced tea along with it. I just might have to work an hour longer to do it because it costs a little bit more. That's all right. I'm blessed more. I'm blessed more. We saw a commercial the other day on TV, and it was a cruise line. Carnival Cruise or one of them. And they called it The Love Boat. Anybody remember the show The Love Boat? Yeah. How many of you watched The Love Boat growing up? All right, there you go. I said to Dan, I said, did you ever think in all of our life that we'd ever get on a boat like that called The Love Boat and go on a cruise? He said, not my wildest dreams. I thought as a little girl, man, people get to do that. That must be the most amazing thing in the whole wide world. And yet we were able to go on a cruise. There's things I've done in my life that I could only dream of as a little girl. They're not big things. They're probably not big things to you, but they're big things to me. And when they happen, I say, God, you're so good to me. You're so good to me. Your blessings are so good to me. You make a man rich and you add no sorrow, because my richness is not in the things that I have. My richness are in my family and my blessings and my church family and the presence of God in my life and what I've seen God do through the years and through the history of how God can take families' lives and change them. Hallelujah. Heather and I were talking the other day about change and some good things that are going on in our community. I know the power of God to deliver people from alcohol. I know the power of God to deliver people from substance abuse. I know the power of God to do these things. I'm blessed to have seen it and experienced those things. Hallelujah. Favor. How many know you got an endorsement from the King today? Hallelujah. If somebody endorses you or endorses a book, it's not necessarily your book that makes it important. It's their name signed on there. Amen. When someone big says, this book is a good book. When Oprah or somebody like that says, this book club has this book, you need to read it. Guess what? People go out and read it because it's been endorsed by someone who has a powerful voice. How many know you have the King's endorsement today? When Esther was called to go in before the king, Mordecai said, Esther, you got to go. She was just a young girl. She said, I can't go to the king. That's not the way this works. I can't go unless he calls for me. And he doesn't even know who I am. He said, don't you think that you will escape this time of siege upon our people? But who knows that you weren't called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Perhaps this is the moment for which you have been called. And Queen Esther said, then I'll go. But I want some praying people to back me up. And when I get ready to go in, if I perish, then I perish. But I'm going before the king. And she walks in before the king. And the king stretches his scepter towards her, which means, darling, you got my favor. You caught my eye. She had more favor with the king than she knew she did. I want somebody to know that today. You think he doesn't know you? You think he's forgotten you? You think it works for everybody else but you? But you have favor with the king, that if you come boldly before him, before the throne of glory, you will receive his grace and his favor. And what happens is, he says, to the half of my kingdom, you can have. I got goodness waiting on you. I got provision waiting on you. I got royal clothes waiting on you. I just needed you to approach me. I just needed you to realize how favored you were. And she comes in before the king and she finds favor. And because she approached the king every weapon that was formed against the Jewish people at that time, which was a man named Haman, who had created a place to hang Mordecai on, the king said, what should be done for the man who honors the king? What should we do for the man who honors the king? That scripture is precious to me because it's the sermon that was preached at my dad's funeral. What should be done for a man who honors the king? Let me tell you, it matters. It matters. Mordecai could have been silent. Esther could have been silent. But one voice was enough to go into the king and said, we need to change some things around, O king. And Haman said, well, if I was you, I would put robes on him. I would march him up and down the street. I would just make a big fuss about him because they thought he was talking about Haman. The king said, then let's do it. Go get Mordecai. See, the one that you think is going to get the favor is not the one who gets the favor, but the one who lays in the balance outside the gates and prays and calls people to pray and activates and sends people like Esther. See, Mordecai didn't go to the king, but he knew how to send somebody that could get the attention of the king. And when he did, God began to turn that king's heart and turn that nation around. And they paraded Mordecai on the king's stallion, the king's horse, with royal robes and royal garb. But more powerful than that, Haman hanged on his own gallows. Let me tell you, the enemy will hang themselves if you will realize the power of prayer in your voice and realize the power of favor over your life. When you go in before the king and say, oh, king, I'm here before you. And he said, you got my favor, darling. How many know the bride of Christ has the favor of our king? You quit thinking that everything is bad, that the world's going, that the world is over and that things are getting worse. I'm going to start declaring favor, favor, favor. Yeah. Hallelujah. Blessings, gratefulness, thankfulness, favor. Yeah. Hallelujah. And because of that, God turned the heart of that king. God turned the heart of a king, and he turned a nation around. What? Because two people, one named Mordecai and one named Esther, stood up and said, I'm going to see the king. Get some prayer people in place. We're going in before some situations that God's going to turn the heart of kings around. I declare that today. Come on, raise your hand and pray that with me, that God is turning the hearts of kings. He's turning the hearts of bosses. He's turning around diagnoses. He's turning around finances. He's turning around businesses. He's turning favor upon you for this time to receive the favor of God in your life. Quit saying what's bad. Quit saying what's wrong. And start saying, I've got favor with the king. I got favor with the king. The next time a circumstance or a trial or something comes against you, I said, God, I'm going to look for favor. I'm looking for favor. Where's the favor? Show me your favor, God. Yeah. How many know their life was not void of chaos, but it was in the midst of chaos that God brings the kairos, that God brings the miraculous, that God shows you favor, unprecedented. That favor, sometimes favor will hunt you down. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the favor of the Lord in the life of Mary, and I don't want to go there yet. But how many know when the angel of the Lord came to Mary, he said, blessed art thou who are highly favored. Highly favored. The Lord is with you. And blessed are you among women. I can tell you, you can have favor with God and with man. How many know Jesus found favor with God and man? Amen. Not everybody liked him. Not everybody's going to like you. You're not everybody's cup of tea. That's because not everybody drinks tea. Maybe you're somebody's cup of coffee. I don't know. But how many know man's favor does not determine where you go or the call of God in your life. Many times in my life, I've questioned, God, why do you have me here at this place in this season? But when I look back, I realize the training. I realize the lessons. I learned, realize the place that we're in. You know, sometimes we look at things and think, well, that was a failure. No, it wasn't. It was a learning experience. There are no failures, I don't think, in life. I think they're all learning experiences to say, well, it didn't work that way. How can this work? How can this be? That was Mary's response to the angel. How can this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel said, never had anything to do with man. Amen. Only had to do with the power of the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Because I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit moves on you, it don't matter what man says. It don't matter circumstances. It doesn't matter if you even think you're favored. How many know Mary was not looking for favor? She's looking for a wedding gown. But favor found her. And favor doesn't always look like favor. But how many know the scripture said, but blessed art thou among women. She got it anyway. She got the wedding gown anyway. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand to your feet with this morning. I didn't get near where I wanted to be, but that's okay. We got several weeks to do it. Favored. But I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to begin to look for favor in this season. Every day. Every circumstance, Lord, show me your favor. Let me see the favor in this. Amen? And then I want you to put it in your heart to invite somebody to come share the message of this season and come be with us and to hear that they are favored of the Lord, that God has provision, He has calling. There's a place where you can find out who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Favor. Thank you, Brittany, for what you shared last Sunday about the ministry that she's beginning and been a part of at Shepherd College. Shepherd College now has a Bible study course that they are leading. They're going to hear about Jesus. Caleb is leading Bible study and leading it and serving at the college in Huntington. West Virginia colleges are starting to hear about Jesus. Come on, somebody. If you want to sow into those ministries, put some money in their hand because it takes resources to do that and they don't have backers. We're going to sow out of this house as well. But thank you for standing up and saying, if I perish, then I perish, but I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to go in to see the dean of the college, or I'm going to go in and talk to some girls about Jesus. And all of a sudden, when we thought maybe 5 or 6 might show up, 75 girls stand up and say, we want to hear about the gospel and we want to know about Jesus. Come on, let Him ignite a fire in you. Feel the favor of the Lord over your life today and say, you can say it's too monumental if you want to, or you can say, let's just start. My dad would say, we're going to just have to start somewhere. Just start and it'll come. It'll come. It'll follow. Hallelujah. As Beth sings this morning, I just want you to lift your hands. I want you to just receive the favor of the Lord in your life today. Ask God to turn your mind and turn your heart to start to look for favor, to not confess it out of our mouth things that have caused discouragement or disappointment, but say, Lord, I receive favor today. Lord, I know that the favor of the Lord will hunt me down. Lord, I know that with a grateful heart, I will receive from the hand of God your goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you need special prayer today, we'd be glad to pray with you, pray over you. Hallelujah. Our altars are always open. Hallelujah. If you're under the sound of my voice right now and you need God to make provision in your life, I declare favor. Lord, I declare supernatural favor. Hallelujah. And even when it doesn't look like favor, God, we receive from your hand the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, that maketh a man rich. Thank you, God, that you are touching and stirring hearts right now, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else like to have special prayer today? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you guys come gather around her and pray.
Your kindness.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for provision. Thank you for healing, God. Thank you for restoration. Thank you, Lord. We're calling children home, God. We're calling children back to your house, God. We're calling those who are afar off, God, back to the presence of the King. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Your favor is